The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
In laboratories around the world, engineers and scientists are working to create materials that make products stronger and lighter. At UW-Milwaukee, some engineers are also looking at ways of making the surface of those materials not only water-repellent, but even self-cleaning. It's called the Lotus Effect. And the engineering process involves creating something called super surfaces, like those found in nature. Joining us in the studio to talk about all of this is Michael Nozanowski, who's UWM Assistant Professor in the Mechanical Engineering Department at UWM's College of Engineering and Applied Science. Welcome, Michael. Good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Tom. It's my pleasure to be here today. And I would like to talk a little bit about the biomimetic surfaces, the research that I work on. So let me start maybe from telling a few words about what is biomimetics.
It's a big name, biomimetics.
Yes, certainly it's a big buzzword. So biomimetics means mimicking nature, living nature for engineering applications. And if you think about it historically, throughout the 20th century, in the beginning of the 20th century, in the middle, people thought that human power is unlimited. You can move mountains, you can turn rivers. But later, some realization comes that it's much more complex. The relationships with nature are much more complex. And all these trends of ecology, all these trends of better understanding nature came into life. So one of these is biomimetics, this idea which emerged sometime in the 1960s that you can learn a lot from nature for purposes of creating new engineering materials, new engineering applications, devices, and so on. My favorite example is the spider web. If you think about the silk, the fiber silk, it's very thin, but per cross-section area, the strength is stronger than steel. And this is due to special structure of the silk fiber. Now, for humans to produce steel, the engineers need high temperatures, high pressures, and the tiny creature, the spider, produces a huge amount of that without having access to any high temperatures, pressure. So all this comes from the structure, from understanding the structure. And a lot of biomimetics is about this multi-scale or hierarchical, as we call it, structure, where you have small things on top of larger things, which are on top of even larger things. So that's a completely different design paradigm. When engineer designs something, he has a blueprint of the final product, while in nature it's different. There are these recursive self-repeating algorithms which are embedded in the DNA and so on. So you don't really have the final picture, but it's very adaptive to the changing environment.
And so it would seem so natural that we would look to nature for examples, but you're saying it really wasn't until the 1960s or so that scientists, engineers realized they could learn a lot from the natural world.
Yes, this is really when this idea, this new trend of biomimetic or bionic design came into pictures and, you know, become more and more powerful. So in the 1960s and the 1970s. And part of this is related to surface science and to the tribology. Now, the tribology is the study of friction. Of course, I'm sure you had a chance to learn this.
Chancellor Lovell, yes. Chancellor Lovell is our own in-house tribology expert, right?
That's true. And tribology is a more technical engineering area, but surface science is more general, related to physics and chemistry of surfaces. Now, surfaces are very important. As one famous physicist, Wolfgang Pauli, said, God created materials, but devil created surfaces, because surfaces make material properties much more complicated, much more complex. And when you're trying to design a small device, such as a microelectromechanical device or any other nanotechnology, nano device, small device, surface. Surface become more and more important. Why is that? Because the volume scales are the third power of the linear size, while the surface is the second power. So the surface-to-volume ratio becomes larger and larger when you decrease size of your device. And all surface effects, such as friction and adhesion, become more and more important.
So that means that even though you could have a device that has absolutely terrific materials, the atoms that are part of the material, whether it's some sort of metal or some sort of plastic agent, it could be very, very strong. But unless the surface is prepared to deal with the stress of that environment, it doesn't really matter how strong the material it is if the surface is going to create problems in using it, right?
Exactly. So you want to control the surface property, and the key to that is to control the structure of the surface, its composition, and its multi-scale structure, because you have processes with different characteristic size, length. And biomimetics gives a lot of examples here, because in nature everything is multi-structure, everything has this hierarchical organization with many scales on top of each other. One famous example is the so-called lotus effect. Now, lotus is a symbol of purity in many Asian cultures. Why is that? Because it emerges clean from dirty or muddy water. It just repels water and mud from its surface.
So you see a lotus plant in a pond, and it looks beautiful.
Exactly.
You pull it out of that pond, though.
Exactly. A couple decades ago, scientists started to study the surface of a lotus leaf, and they found that this is due to a very special structure of the lotus leaf surface. It has small bumps, which are called papillae, which are microscopic. And then on top of that, there is even smaller roughness with submicron scale size. And then it's covered with a certain type of wax also. So it's a combination of several things which has different characteristic length scale, and that's the surface roughness and the surface coating. And due to that, water is repelled from the leaf of lotus. And if you put a water droplet on top of it, it forms almost a sphere with a very high contact angle, close to 180 degrees. So engineers in the labs in the world are trying now to reproduce the lotus effect, to reproduce the surface structure in order to obtain water repellent and self-cleaning surfaces.
How difficult is it for an engineer to go ahead and mimic, in this case, that lotus flower, the leaf, and get it smack dab right on like nature did?
That's certainly a difficult task, but in the past, say, 10 years, there is a lot of progress in that, and there are several dozens of laboratories in the world which work on that. So my work is mostly on modeling these effects, but I work closely with practical engineers and faculty who have a lot of connection to industry, to practical things. So I'm trying to spread these ideas among my colleagues and then to industry and to particular applications. So in particular, we work with Professor Hadge from engineering, who is an expert in metal matrix composites, and we work together with water industry through the IUCRC, the industry university center sponsored by the NSF and by local industry, in order to improve the components, to help local industry to produce better components for water applications.
So give us an example. Are we talking about a machine that might be used to treat water, or is it containers that would be holding water?
No, at this point we're talking about water pipes, water components such as heaters, water meters, and they all involve some contamination, which is undesirable usually. So by controlling the microstructure of the surface and the composition of the material, you can reduce that, to reduce corrosion and to reduce contamination. So that's one of the directions where we're trying to apply these ideas from biomimetics and biomimetic surfaces.
So for anyone who's a homeowner and has gone down into the basement and that hot water heater is leaking or maybe hissing, you look inside and you see it's corroding. You've got rust in there, and it you know, 6 years, 7 years after you buy it, it begins to break down. Is that a result of the surface not being able to deal with all of the water that and pressure it's constantly under?
Certainly, we are trying to improve the durability of these things. And one of the issues there is that you can apply certain coatings, but that coating should be, you know, not every chemical you can put into a water system because it may be dangerous and desirable. There is very strict control on that. So by controlling the microstructure of the surface, it would be much more desirable, much more greener way to obtain the same result of increasing durability and self-cleaning of these components. But that's only one direction of our work. Now, another direction is related to civil engineering, and I work closely with Professor Sobolev from civil engineering, who is an expert in ultra-durable concretes. So when you have this construction material such as concretes, water penetration is very undesirable thing there, because water penetrates, then it can freeze and it expands, and then because of that you have cracks, and basically that what limits the lifetime of concrete.
And creates a lot of potholes that our tires don't have
like
much
on your
fun
driveway,
going over,
for
right?
example, or right. even in our engineering building, we have always this, in the parking lot, we have always this problem with the cracks, yes. So the idea that if you can improve the composition of concrete by embedding certain super hydrophobic water repellent additives, water wouldn't penetrate inside, it will become hydrophobic, and then it will last much, much longer. It will also repel ice, the so-called isophobicity, and it will last longer. So these are the applications of the lotus effect, of self-cleaning, of the so-called shark skin effect. But there is also a lot of fundamental science in that which I'm interested in.
You talk about the shark skin effect, because I thought that was fascinating, how you've studied the skin of a shark, and it has some unique properties.
Yes, that's true. There are several these biomimetic surface effects. Lotus effect, which I mentioned, is one of them. Then there is so-called gecko effect, which is controlled adhesion, because gecko can climb vertical walls.
Yeah, and those little pads on
exactly.
There.
But it can also control. It can switch from very high adhesion to very small adhesion force. And another effect is the shark skin effect, and shark skin has certain scale structure which suppresses turbulence and reduces drag of water, water friction and resistance. But it also can serve as a self-cleaning coating as well. And that is very applicable for anti-fouling surfaces, which can be used for ship hulls, but they can also be used for all kind of water applications. Since we are here, the hub of water industry, we have several companies around which produce water components. That's where we're trying to apply. That's our first direction of application.
So if I'm a manufacturer and I'm listening to this program, and I think, you know, I produce a great product, but it wears out too quickly. It doesn't have all of the benefits that I would want to give my customers in terms of a product that could handle different types of liquids than they might. And I come to you, Professor, and I say, I need help here. When you begin working on creating these new surfaces, do you try to replicate the effect, as you, for example, using the shark skin anecdote that you shared, do you try to go ahead and actually use any of the materials that are in a shark's skin, or do you just look at the nature of that skin and try to emulate it using entirely different properties?
I would say that it is not that straightforward. It's not an easy path from this idea of the shark skin effect or even the lotus effect to the particular application which you need for your household item. There is a long path there. And what we are trying to do, we are trying to better understand how surface structure affects adhesion and these self-cleaning properties, in particular the so-called oleophobicity, which is ability to repel oil and all kind of organic liquids, and also the isophobicity, the ability not to to prevent ice formation. And there is a lot of fundamental science into that, because adhesion involves entropic, enthalpic component. There is a lot of fundamental research. There is a lot of place for fundamental research. But also, at the end, of course, we are looking for particular application, but it takes several steps. It's not directly that you replicate shark skin for your household item.
Yeah, that's not going to work. But so you're using that as an example or a model of what you might end up doing.
That's true.
Yeah. You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So good to have you with us this week. We're having a fascinating conversation about the surface of things. Often we talk on this program about the way in which we make products, and certainly UW Milwaukee with its College of Engineering and other schools, our physics department, mathematics, all involved in helping to create better products. Today, kind of a different angle as Assistant Professor Michael Nazanovsky, who's in the Mechanical Engineering Department, talks about his work in mimicking nature as they go about producing the materials that you might use to build a car or a machine or even a computer. Michael, as you take a look at the work that you've been doing in the laboratories, how far away are you from taking these ideas of creating these whole new surfaces and applying them on a day-to-day basis in the industries here in Milwaukee? We've got thousands of manufacturers in the area. Are we already embedding some of these into the workplace, or is this a dream that will come to fruition somewhere down the road?
That's a very good question. Well, certainly we are not yet completely there. We are trying to work in that direction. As I said, my work is mostly modeling of the things rather than producing particular materials, but I work closely with more practically minded professors who work closely with the industry. So it takes several steps, I would say. But one particular accomplishment is the creation, of course, of this IUCRC, which we have here, and our research is part of that IUCRC program. And IUCRC is Industry University Cooperative Research Consortium.
So it's a real nice way to connect the university with the companies solving real-world problems.
With the help of the National Science Foundation as well. So it connects all these three sides. We also have a grant from the NSF for the fundamental study of these things. And we're also trying to apply it, as I mentioned, to concrete and to construction materials. And we had some connection with the highway administration and with people who are interested in new durable pavements and concrete and materials.
So as you look to nature for some examples, are you still exploring different plants or different creatures that might provide some lessons or some clues as you look for those perfect surfaces?
Well, that's certainly true, and new ideas still keep coming in this area and your examples from nature. But in general, I should also say that my research is in friction. And if you think about nature, all nature is about self-organization, about organizing self, building new structure, self-assembly, and so on. Now, friction is usually thought as something that results in material deterioration, degradation, and energy dissipation. But under certain conditions, friction can lead to creation of new materials, new structures of the interface, such as the tribofilms or certain periodic structures of the interface, which can be very useful.
And so friction can actually, in some cases, be good, a positive.
Yes, that's true if you know how to control it, if you can have structure of the surface or the structure of the material, which leads to that creation of new so-called secondary structures of the interface. And this by itself is a very fascinating topic for research. It's a very interesting topic because this is not what usually people think about friction.
Yeah. Now, I think of my brakes, and if they're squeaking, I know there's the result of friction is not good in that case.
Well, that's true, but when it's squeaking, you have this periodic noise, which is in a sense, physically speaking, also a structure because it's periodic. It has certain periodicity. And if you think mathematically about it, the equations which involve such things as a brake, a squeal, for example, the same equation can apply to the structures which can form at the interface and which can eventually reduce friction, which can lead to friction reduction if you know how to control it. Now, I would say that in general, friction is a very interesting phenomenon, which is underappreciated in a sense by physicists, because friction is universal. It's everywhere, from nanoneurons, from nanotechnology, to huge loads in seismology, for example, when you have tectonic plates. It's still the same friction law. And it is not a result, currently it's not viewed as some fundamental law of nature. Friction is usually treated as a combination of some random causes, but it's very general. So there is more general structure behind friction, let me put it this way, which may be related to the second law of thermodynamics and to some fundamental physics. So one of my ambitions is trying to better understand this connection of friction to fundamental laws of nature, not just to the applications in engineering.
Wow. How did you first get interested in this field?
Well, my education is mechanical engineering. It was more elasticity and more classical problems of mechanical engineering, which are related to mathematics. So my PhD was in friction-induced vibrations, but it all was the mathematical study of friction-induced vibrations. And after that, I went to a postdoc and studied a lot of nanotribology. So tribology at the nanoscale, which is a new...
Really, nano is really, really tiny particles.
Right. We have micro, and nano is smaller than micro, of course. And this is a new area as well, which exists for some maybe 20 years. And there are many interesting tasks there. So that was a very modern area. And this is where I got interested in adhesion and in all these small devices, small applications. So my postdoc was more application of these classical ideas about friction and mathematical ideas to these new exciting areas of engineering. So this is where it came from. And then we found all this world of biomimetics, all this world of... bio-inspired surfaces, which is also related to the classical areas of mechanics at the one hand, and at the other hand to the new areas of small devices, nano devices, MEMS, and so on.
So you're able to use that foundation of your mathematics knowledge and use that as the springboard into solving problems in all of these other areas.
Yes, that's what we're trying to do all the time, yes.
Talk about the students who are studying this. Is this an area that has attracted the attention of a lot of students who are interested in engineering?
Well, certainly we have very bright students, both undergraduate students and graduate students. For example, I had a course for functional biomimetic surfaces, and some students were very excited about that. And, for example, one of my students, Tyler Hurt, he later went to work for a local company here on filters and membranes for water, about which he learned in my class. Many students are really excited about these new areas because they didn't really have a chance to know about it before. That's something new for them. And we also have graduate students. We have a group of graduate students. We publish in good journals and so on. So we do some exciting research with students.
Because you're looking at lessons that nature might teach us, do you ever work with people in biology or in chemistry where they might more naturally be looking at a shark skin or the lotus plant?
Well, that's a good question. I'm certainly very interested in that. Not yet, but that's something on my mind, and I want to move into that direction and have closer contacts.
Because the whole notion of interdisciplinary research,
true,
where you have people from all across campus coming to solve a problem brings a lot of new thinking to the table, doesn't it?
That's exactly true.
Yeah, yeah. So where do you see your work going down the road, Michael? I mean, you've already transitioned from doing just pure mathematics and moving into this whole new area. Where do you think this whole study of surface is going to be 5 or 10 years from now?
Well, there are certainly several directions where it's going. One of them is related to so-called green tribology or eco-tribology, because if something is biomimetics, that also means that it's environment-friendly. And eco-tribology is a big issue now because engineers and scientists want to create solutions for friction and wear, which are also eco-friendly. So that's one direction where it can go. Now, another direction, of course, we want to better understand and better control adhesion and friction at the so-called mesoscale and nanoscale. So there is a lot in modeling these effects and creating better understanding of what's going on and how the interplay, these different scales, how they work together in order to result in all this exciting effects.
So if I walked into your laboratory and I said, gee, you know, I'd love to see this work, am I going to be looking at something I can hold, or do I have to look into a microscope to see these effects that you've been discussing in terms of the surface of this material?
Well, in particular, my laboratory is a small one, and we are doing a lot of modeling research and computer and so on. We measure, for example, contact angle. We have the device called goniometer, a tensiometer, to measure the contact angle and the surface energy.
The contact angle.
The contact angle, okay. Yes, of different surfaces. Yes, we also collaborate with more experimental labs, so you need sometimes to use the scanning electron microscope and so on, all kind of experimental.
Because when you look at surfaces at that level of detail, then you probably can begin to literally see the way in which that water may roll off or the oil might be repelled.
Yes, we want to understand surface roughness, and there are many parameters which control surface roughness. It's not just one number. There are different types of surface roughness. So we want to understand how all these types of surface roughness affect adhesion properties and frictional properties.
So are other people in the world studying this? And if so, where does the U.S. stand in terms of being closer to some breakthroughs in this new field of studying super surfaces?
That's a good question. It's a very competitive field. Certainly there are groups in Europe, in Japan, in Asia, and in the U.S. as well. And here in UWM, we have several tribologists now, so we have a critical mass of tribologists and surface scientists. So hopefully we can have a strong collaborative group which, you know, has a critical mass in order to become one of the best in the United States.
Yeah, because whoever gets the big breakthrough in this area stands to make a big difference in terms of how companies make their products in the future.
That's true.
Yeah, terrific. And so down the road, the focus right now is just to continue to work with industry and find new ways in which you can go ahead and find that big breakthrough in terms of the surface of things.
Well, that's true. We want to understand both the fundamental issues related to adhesion and multi-scale structure of surface, and both the applications. We want to expand our efforts to find real applications for these studies, and the potential is great. There are many, many directions in which you can find potential applications for that, from Navy down to water industry and to household items where you need self-cleaning from your coffee machine, any household item, actually.
Well, we'll be as anxiously awaiting to see how you can create better surfaces that we don't have to clean as much around our house someday.
That's true. That's our dream.
Michael, fascinating conversation. We wish you the very, very best as you continue your study of super surfaces at UWM along with your colleagues.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Michael Nozanovsky, who's an assistant professor in the Mechanical Engineering Department at UWM, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. Well, that's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week as we talk more about the amazing people and amazing research being done here in Milwaukee. Take care, everybody. Have a good day. I'm Tom Lujack.
You have been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.